Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. This life we have is a stewardship entrusted to us by our Creator. We dare not live it out mindlessly. Today's passage is Ecclesiastes 10, 12 through 20, in which Solomon calls us to discipline and grace in the way we communicate and the way we conduct our daily affairs. Listen to Rich's challenge to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and the life to come so that we can do the hard things in this life. Let's listen in. Today's broadcast is the third part of the study on Ecclesiastes 10, 12 through 20. It was first preached on July 15, 2018 at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You can hear more from Pastor Rich at delightingrace.com.
Do you know some of the best musicians, you know what they spend a lot of their time doing? They just practice the scales, going up and down the scales, in the different keys, going up and down the scales. What is that? That's basics. That's mastering the fundamentals. Because back in the 80s and 90s, all these church conferences and pastors' conferences were rising up, and they were all about the latest innovations and tactics and church growth tactics and movements and things like that, and how to become a polished, dynamic speaker. And Alistair Begg sent out a letter, and he started this basic conference fellowship, and he says, we need pastors who master the fundamentals of ministry. And that rang a bell with me. And that's why I've gone for 17 years in a row. It's such an oasis. But we need to be disciplined in craftsmanship. Are you a student? That's a craft. Did you know being a student is a craft? It's what you're called to in this chapter of life. But in that craft, are you cutting corners? Are you cheating? Or are you simply just, okay, I'm just simply going to study to pass the test. I just want to pass the test. That's all I want to do. Or are you really learning? Are you becoming disciplined in the craft? It says here that the toil of the fool wearies him. He does not know the way to the city. Why is that? This is spoken and given in an agrarian culture. Right? So he, the fool, this could be like the farmer. He's working in the field and he doesn't like working in the field. It doesn't bring him pleasure. But the problem with that, he thinks the work is about him. I'm not feeling self-actualized in my work. And so he doesn't know the way to the city. Why? Because it's not on his mind. His work isn't about making his produce available to other people to serve the community. His work is about his own pleasure. Well, of course he's not going to get pleasure out of it. Because he's doing it for himself. Instead of taking it to the city to sell and serve the community. Listen to this, please. This is life lived well. This is what it looks like as far as being disciplined in craftsmanship. Work is more about loving your neighbor than self-actualization. Secondly, discipline. Number one, craftsmanship. Number two, discipline in leadership. Verses 16 and 17. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Discipline in leadership. A fool, by definition, has self at the center. It's all about me. So when a person is in a position of leadership, then that position is all about me. That's folly. Now, many of us in this congregation today, if not all of us, to some degree or another, have some kind of a position of leadership. And if that position is about me, then we are guilty of folly. When it says, woe to you, O land, when your child is a king, a child, when your king is a, all right, let me back up here. When your king is a child is inherently undisciplined. A child is inherently foolish because their life is all about them. I have proof of that from Poland. My oldest granddaughter, Adelie, she loves baby Hudson. She doesn't understand why she can't hold him all the time. She says, I just want him for myself. That's what she said. That's a child. That's what childishness is. That's why they so desperately need parents. That's why they so desperately need wise leadership. You see that? Whether your leadership position is in government or industry or the church or even as a parent, your position is not about you. It's not about your self-actualization or your promotion, how important you are, or how much you are liked. It's not about your self-indulgence. It's about fulfilling the purposes of God and serving others. And the example that is given in that is in verse 17. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobility and your priests, your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. What he is saying is feasting is a good thing. Partying is a good thing. But if your leadership is foolish, then that trickles down. And there's no responsibility. There's no accountability there. But those who are wise, they feast at good times, at right times. They have parties for the right reasons and in appropriate times, for morale, for encouragement, for stronger leadership, for strength, instead of simply partying for pleasure or for escape or for indulgence. It's a contrast between wisdom and folly. Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. He was a leader. He was a wise leader. But he did not come to be served, but to give. You see, his position was not about him. He was here to redeem us, to be served, to serve and to give his life. That's wisdom. And he gave us an example that we should walk in his steps. And then lastly, discipline in craftsmanship, discipline in leadership. Lastly, in verse 18, discipline in stewardship. Discipline in stewardship. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, makes it very clear that lack of discipline and poverty are linked. It's not always the case, but they are definitely linked. Do you know why they are linked? Because the person, the fool, whose work wearies him, says, he gets up in the morning and he says, I don't feel like doing this. And so he doesn't. Do you know there are hard things in life that we must do? And if there's anything a parent needs to teach a child, is that they can't just do the things they feel like doing. Otherwise, the dishes would never get done. The house would never get cleaned, right? But it's a matter of doing hard things with diligence and finding joy in the end. You see, stewardship is a trust. You have been entrusted with things to manage well, a steward of things, of wealth, of relationships, of time, of intellect, of work. You are a steward of these things, and you need to exercise. A life lived well means disciplined stewardship. That you acknowledge that these things are entrusted to you to manage well, to live life well in these venues with these tools. Even Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, came to us. He invaded our planet, our space and time. And he said to the Father, I have come to do your will. You know what's fascinating when you look at the Gospels? Luke chapter 9, so early in the Gospel, Luke chapter 9, at the end there, it says that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. What was waiting for him in Jerusalem? A whip and a cross and a tomb. And he set his face to go to Jerusalem. What did he have in front of him? He had unspeakably difficulty ahead of him. And it was not pleasurable. But he did it. Why? Because he was other focused. He was a steward of what his Father had entrusted to him. And it says, for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. Why? That he might bring us to God. You see the discipline there? He left us an example that we should walk in His steps. That's why John says, if Christ laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for each other. You see, it's discipline in craftsmanship, in leadership, in stewardship. This is why Solomon says the theme of chapter 10 here of Ecclesiastes, wisdom helps one to succeed. Wisdom gets the edge. In other words, a life well lived helps one to realize their purpose. And your purpose is to know God and to enjoy Him. That's why you exist. A life lived well will give you the edge in knowing God and enjoying Him. Wisdom helps one to succeed. This is why the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It's 1 Timothy 4:7. That word discipline is the word from which we get our word gymnasium. Discipline yourself for godliness. We are called to live our lives well in dialogue and in discipline. Not just so it'll make life easier and better for us, but so that we can truly be successful, that we will realize our purpose, that we will function according to design, and that is to know God and enjoy Him. Let's live life well. Let's be that salt, the contrast, the flavor, the preserving quality of our culture. And let's be light, that contrast in a dark world.
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the one who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.